The Gospel of John begins in this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And this gospel focuses on themes of darkness, of light, of high and of low, of deeper and deeper meaning. And the gospel talks especially about how Jesus is the light that gives life to all people, and how darkness may come, but the darkness can never extinguish the light. And now we come to the end of this book, but these things continue, and perhaps in a little more subtle way. And one of these ways is in what seems to be a minor detail in the story: the charcoal fire. The setting of the story is that Jesus is brought before the Jewish leaders for questioning. When is this happening? At nighttime, when it's dark. The servants and officials who were there had built a charcoal fire to keep them warm because of the cold of night. Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, is also cold, and he stands by the fire. In the darkness, he can't be recognized. But in the light of the charcoal fire, he can be. He'd rather be in the dark, but he's cold. So he comes into the warmth of the fire and the light of the fire. And one of the servant girls asks, "Hey, aren't you one of the accused's disciples?" And Peter says, "I am not." The scripture says that Peter is still warming himself by the charcoal fire. The light of the fire reveals him to two others who ask Peter if he's with Jesus, and Peter denies him one more time, and then still another time. Three times he denies Jesus. And then what happens after that third denial? A rooster crows. Jesus told Peter that before the rooster crowed, he would deny Jesus three times. Now, I've really not thought too deeply about the rooster crowing, that it signals Peter's denials. But in preparing for the sermon, I kept on thinking about the symbolism of John, that everywhere there's symbolism. And I began thinking about roosters. When are roosters supposed to crow? Early in the morning. In Kaneohe, they crow every hour of the day. Have you ever stayed in the parsonage at the West Kauai United Methodist Church? A rooster crows at 3:55 a.m. every morning. Roosters are the ones who signal that light is coming in the midst of darkness. So isn't it interesting that at Peter's darkest moment, when he realizes that the very thing he swore he would never do is deny or desert Jesus, he does it, and right after that comes the crowing of the rooster, the animal that signals the coming of light. And I may be completely off base here, but there's a growing part of me that says and tells me that the way this book was written was to signal that at every turn, even in our darkest moment, there is still a glimmer of hope. There is still a glimmer of light. There is still a signal that no matter how terrible things are going, Jesus sends us small signs that says, there is light. There is hope. A rooster crowing may forever signal for Peter a reminder of his worst mistake, but the rooster crowing is also a sign that there is something else coming. Darkness continues to be a theme in this gospel. The darkest day in human history was the crucifixion of Jesus. In the middle of the day, darkness fell on the earth, and it was then that Jesus was crucified, one of the most horrible methods of execution known to humankind. Darkness. And after that dark day, 3 days later, it was morning. It was daylight. And Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, weeping, her head bowed. She hears a voice. She thinks it's the gardener. And to me, another reminder that it's early in the morning because she thinks it's the gardener. And so many gardeners work in those cool early morning hours when light just begins to break. In daylight, Mary realizes that Jesus is risen, darkness to light, from despair to hope. Then in the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, we return to Peter, and he has his own redemption. He gets light in the midst of darkness. He gets into his boat and goes fishing with his friends at night, and I guess they figured that with Jesus gone, why don't they just go back to what they did before? And what they did before was become fishermen. And they go in the darkness of night and they catch nothing. Early in the morning at daybreak, they see a man on the beach. And he tells them what to do. Throw your nets over on the other side. And they catch fish. A lot of fish. 153 to be exact. And when John says that it is the Lord, Peter jumps into the water and swims from the boat to the beach. And what does he see there? A charcoal fire. A reminder of the biggest mistake of his life. But once again, Jesus brings light to the darkest situations. Jesus brings hope in the midst of despair. What Jesus does is take Peter aside one by one. And he takes away the three denials said in front of the charcoal fire by the beach, where all night long in the darkness they caught nothing, and at daylight they caught many. And Jesus takes away these denials by asking Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And each time Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And the three I loves you, I love yous, cancel out the three I don't know him. It doesn't end there, though. It's not like, okay, Peter, all's forgiven. You can go back to fishing and it's all good. There's one other detail in the story. The charcoal fire has fish on it. And you remember when Peter was called? He was told that he would become fishers of men, and I would add women. And now that Jesus has risen and was going to go away to heaven, the responsibility would not go away for making Peter fish for people as well as the disciples. Now Jesus says, if you love me, tend my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs and my sheep, the people of this world. So when all is said and done, the conclusion to John's gospel is that the world starts in darkness and the light that is Jesus breaks through like our sanctuary cross and breaks through the darkness and despair of the world. And in the end, we are called back to the light. If you ever go to Colmar in Europe, in a town that is now France, but at different times it was part of Germany too, you might see this painting, and you should see this painting. I really encourage it. It's called the Isenheim Altarpiece. It was painted in 1513 by a man named Matthias Brunewald. It was painted for a chapel in a hospital that specialized in treating the bubonic plague and other diseases, including one that was called St. Anthony's Fire. And those of you who are there in the morning, how do you get St. Anthony's Fire? What do you eat? What kind? Rotten grain, which was sometimes the only thing that people had to eat. When you got St. Anthony's fire and other diseases, you were often covered with horrible sores. And when you came to church, the patients would see this crucified Jesus. And before you go to the next slide, you're going to see something very striking. But I also want to point out the figure just to the right of Jesus, pointing at Jesus. That's actually John the Baptist and Jesus' cousin, who was a big person of the day. And he's pointing at Jesus, and in the inscription near him, it says, "He must increase and I must decrease." And I think that's a little side lesson I want us to always remember. That in our lives, it's Jesus who must increase and we who must decrease. But if you take a closer look at the detail of the slide, you'll see, I hope you can see it, that there are different things. There are thorns in Jesus. There are also sores. And what you realize is Jesus has many of those diseases that the patients had, including St. Anthony's fire. And for these patients, there was some comfort in knowing that Jesus the Christ suffered on the cross with the same illnesses that they had. Now, it was comforting for them because, I don't know if you can see there's a little line that goes through just to the right of Jesus' head. Now, that's not a mistake because basically this is a painting that's like this, and then on special holidays, it opens up like this. And one of the panels that the patients would see would be the one on the right. And what that is the resurrected Jesus in bright light, not in darkness. And free from the diseases that afflicted him in the crucifixion painting. It's almost as if he's holding up his arms to say, "See, the disease is gone." And in that light, the patients could see hope in their future. Because Jesus, the one who carried their disease, gives that hope that they will one day be free of their own disease. And I find it incredibly powerful how a painting can tell that story. And I would say that it's not only the patients that were given hope, but also the hospital workers, many of them who were monks, who would treat these patients day after day, who would pray for these patients day after day. And I'm sure that many died and many were very discouraged. But the sight of a Jesus who had the same diseases that they were treating, and then the sight of a resurrected Christ free of the disease, I believe inspired them to keep going. That there would be wonderful times when their treatment, their prayers, their care would one day result in a cure. If not in this life, then in the life to come. So friends, we may live in darkness in some part of our world and some part of our lives. But the light and life of the world, Jesus Christ, will shine in our darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. And then may we be the light and life of Christ to break through the darkness of the world. Let's pray. God, we are grateful to you for Jesus, the one who brought us light and life, the one who shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, the one who understands our afflictions, who understands our diseases, who understands our pain, who understands our darkness, and takes it upon himself and then be triumphant in resurrection to give us the hope that perhaps in this life and surely in the next, we'll be free of the afflictions, be free of the diseases, be free of the torment, be free of the difficulties, and that we will triumph with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the light and life of the world. Amen.